So at the end of last year, before the Christmas Carol service, I just really felt in my heart it would be good to impart something as a leadership into the lives of the church. You know, many people at the beginning of a year would do a New Year's resolution. This is what I'm going to take a hold of for the new year. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm not going to go to bed so late, and all the normal stuff. And that's all right. That's good. That would do well for your natural self. But one of the things I wanted to do is really just get the pastors and assistant pastors and significant voices that are here in the church to actually share with you what they feel the Lord has placed on their heart as a scripture, what maybe God spoke to them, and pray that scripture over our lives. Because the Word of God, the Bible says that God watches over His Word to perform it. And these aren't just individuals that I thought, oh, you know, they're our system, they're the spiritual leaders of the house, okay? If you've got an area of an issue or a problem or a difficulty or a struggle that you're going through, these are the people that we want to encourage you to connect with and contact and speak with, because they are positioned purposefully in the house. So I'm going to ask first and foremost, Isaac and Mercy, they're going to come as a couple. Let's come as couples, and we'll see how that goes. So yeah, let's give them a warm welcome. Over to you.
Praise God. Is it on? Can you hear me well? Happy New Year. I'm happy to see all your faces. Yeah, thank you so much, little girl there. Happy New Year to you too. I'm really, really happy to see you here. And as a couple, God has blessed us to have you as our family every single day. Amen. Yeah, we'll be sharing what God has given us, and I'll let Mercy first start.
Praise God. Praise God. The word of the Lord says, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Yesterday, I was a little bit low because I received word that one of our classmates had passed on. And it was a very low moment for me. And at that moment, I just felt like everything that I had gone through the year was piling up on me. And this morning, I remembered what God put in my heart was to praise Him and to give thanks to Him every single day. Even during that moment, I did not remember that, but this morning, I heard the voice of God tell me to, it's a new day, and God has blessed us with a new day. And so I'm going to give thanks to Him, and I'm going to praise Him. And the word of God says in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers 6, 24 says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and gracious to you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And that is what my heart is going to hold on to this year. To hold on to that peace that God has blessed us with.
Amen. So from that verse, that's as a family, that's our verse of the year. Amen. And we will also like it to be a verse for each of us. Because this part of the verse of or the Bible that we are reading, it was given directly by God to the priests. It was given to the priest at a moment that the Israelites were starting their journey in the wilderness. Okay? So when they were in that region of uncertainty, they've started a journey that they don't know where this journey is going, or they didn't know what was coming ahead of them. As we are here today, we don't know what is coming in 2026. But this was a priestly verse that was given, that the priest, every single time, they need to tell the Israelites and they need to bless the Israelites in their journey and tell them that, may the Lord bless you. Amen? So the Lord bless you and keep his face shining on you. Because the blessings, we pray for blessings in terms of health, in terms of prosperity. The blessing of God will cater for you throughout the year. May his, the next one was that the Lord face shine on you and be gracious to you. Okay? May you know that this year God looks upon you with favor. Amen? As you start a year, God is favoring you in terms of your workplace, in terms of your studies, in terms of your relationship, in terms of what you are putting down to start with. Just want to tell you that God is looking at you with favor. Amen? And the last one, that the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. We are in a world that there is no peace. We own, personally, we fight our own battles. We are unpeaceful in our own minds. We think on things that don't give us peace. But this year, we want to pray that God grants you his peace. Amen? Let his gift, it's not that this year will not be a trouble-free year, but even in the ups and downs that we'll face in the new year, just know that God is there with you and God's peace will be there. And may he rest your soul. Amen. So as we begin this year, receive the blessings of God with open hands and hearts. Amen. So we were told to pray for the church. We just pray that God hears us and blesses us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you because of this moment. As we are starting a new year, a new journey, and even a new time of wanting to know you more, we pray that Jesus, you be there with us. Lord, you cover us, every plan that we have. We pray that you be there for us. When we'll be facing uncertainty, when we'll be fighting in our own hearts and we lack peace, Jesus, we pray that your steadfast peace be upon us. May your favor walk with us. Let the blood of Jesus cover us from sides to sides, O God. And may you give us the strength to forge each step in your word. God, we thank you for even our children. We want to pray that your blessings be upon them. As they are going to school and their minds are being corrupted from every corner, O God, we pray that Jesus, your blessings be upon them. Give them favor and cover them in your blood, O Jesus. We bless you for even our jobs, the employments, and even those who are looking for better. Jesus, we pray that you be there with them. This year, as we start with you, knowing that in every step, you are there. Let your cloud and your fire lead and protect us. We start a year believing and trusting that Jesus, you are going to be there and make us victorious. In Jesus' name, I believe and pray. Amen. May the God, our Lord, bless, keep you, and his face shine upon each and everyone. Amen. I want to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Romeo and Camille. Amen.
Happy New Year to everyone. I'm going to let Camille go first. Because that's the manly thing to do, right, gents? Definitely.
I had this one in my hand all the time. Sorry about that. I felt the Lord gave me a word. I got a scripture, and I wasn't sure that it was the right scripture, but then he gave me a word, and I realized, yes, it was. And the word that he's given me for us as a church is restoration. And the word is from Jeremiah 29, from verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will let myself be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." And leading up to these verses, you would have gotten the story of how the children of Israel had been sent into captivity. They were living in Babylon. But this is the word of the Lord that came to them after he'd promised to them that I have plans for you. And then he says, I will restore you. And as a church, I know in my own personal life, 2025 was 2025-ing, as Indy would say. And quite a few of us would have weathered storms. And individually, there are quite a few of you who would have maybe weathered a few more storms than others. I'm reading some of it because I said to Pastor Jeff, Jane, and Romeo, if I don't, I would go off on a tangent, and you know when I start talking, I don't stop. So we'll be here until after 12. Yeah. And for some of us, our knees would have buckled under us. You know when you're trying to hold a weight and you're going down, our knees would have buckled under us. For some of us, our stomach, you know that knot in the pit of your stomach, that might have tightened a little bit more. And then there are others who may have been burdened by the weight of life and its circumstances. And so you may have struggled to lift your head and you may have struggled to lift your hands. And sometimes when you want to worship God, the weight of the world seems like it's just too much. And it is hard to even open your mouths and say, God, help. And so I want to bring you this word from God. Some of you might have been in places where you felt like the Israelites did then, in captivity. But you see, God sent Jeremiah to remind them that the word that I had given unto you, and this would have been in verse 10. It says, you know, God reminded them via Jeremiah. And so as we enter into the threshold, or we're on the threshold of 2026, I want us to take these words to heart and stand assured on the promise that God gave to them in verse 13, where he says, when you seek me, you will find me. But he says, when you seek me with all of your heart, that heart is not your physical heart. That heart talks about your mind, will, emotions. When you seek me with everything there is in you, when you seek me and my purposes, with every single thing that is in you, he promises he will let himself be found by us. And I really want us to take hold of that when we're going through 2026. We may be in good places. Praise God, we're in good places. And I will remember that when I'm in the good places, I will remember that I can still seek you and find you. You will not hide from me. His word says, I will let myself be found by you. I don't need to go looking too hard, because once I start looking for him, I will find him, because he avails himself to me also. When you feel yourself in the desert place, when you feel yourself in the desert place, he will restore you. So no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, when you look, he is there. In the big things, in the little things, he is there. He says, if only you would look. When you do that, even in the places where it's hard to see. You know, have you ever been in rain where it's lashing down hard and you're like, your wipers are going like this? And you're like, come on, come on, clear up, clear up, clear up. I want to see. Even in those places, when you look, you will find him, because he will let himself be found by you and he will restore you. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can stand assured on the promises of your word to us. We thank you for the promise of restoration in the year 2026. Where things are broken, where relationships that have been fragmented, where hearts and lives may be, you know, wandering in desert places, Father, we declare your word over them. We declare and thank you for the restoration of families. We thank you for restoration of time, God, so that our time would not be wasted. Father, we thank you and declare restoration of health to every single person in this place who's struggling with health issues. We declare restoration of life over them. Restoration of health, God, in the name of Jesus. We declare restoration over opportunities and jobs and work in the workplace, God. Friendships, Jesus. And Lord, as we stand on Jeremiah 29, 13 to 14, we declare a renewed diligence and vigor in seeking and pursuing hard after you and your righteousness. And we thank you that as we seek, you've declared that you will let yourself be found by us. Amen.
You can't go, you have to stay with me. So when Pastor Jeff told us that we needed to bring a word, was I scared? Of course I was. Haven't stand here for the past 7 and 8 months. Of course it was challenging. But however, I said to Camille, I don't want to know what you're speaking about, because it's better that way. Because we want to see how God moves in church. Because the word he may give to her might be the same word that I'm bringing. Who knows? But funny enough, she've mentioned the heart. We've sang, thank you, Jesus. You've entered my heart. So the scripture that I'm going to share with you, I've got three very important scriptures. And the first one comes from Proverbs 4:23 from the New King James Version. And for most of you who know me, know I've been deployed for the past 7.5 months. And this scripture sort of kept me through those 7.5 months. Because on a ship, there's different types of people who do different types of things. So I have to guard my heart and protect my heart with all diligence. So the New King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I went to the NIV, And even before I got to this scripture, I went on my phone, the Bible app, and type in above all else, just to find out what scripture speaks about above all else. And the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart. That goes to show that it's very important, because it's above everything else with you guarding your heart. And the fact that God entered your heart, it even adds more to that, where you have to guard and protect your heart. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do, everything you see, everything you read, the company you keep and the conversations you have goes into your heart. So you have to guard, you have to protect your heart with all diligence. I also went to the NASB, and it says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Heart keep popping up, diligence popping up. It says to watch, it says to keep. You know why there's the reason why we have to be diligent, and this goes into the next chapter I want to give you, next scripture I want to give you, and it's from 1 Peter 5:8 from the New King James Version. And it says, it speaks about your adversary. Not my adversary, your adversary. Every one of us has an adversary. And it says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's all of us. He tried to see if he could devour you. And how he does that? By getting to your heart. That's why we need to keep guard. That's why we need to watch and be diligent. How do we guard our heart? How do we watch over our heart? By his word. Picking up his word daily. Reading his word. Let it soak into your heart. So when the enemy comes and, you know, try to devour you and try to put things in your way, get behind me, Satan. You can bring up a scripture just like that, because you were reading, you were spending time reading. Also by prayer. We have to be careful about the things we watch and the things that we listen to in order to guard our heart. The last scripture I have is from Isaiah 55:8, from the New King James Version as well. And it says, for my thoughts, this is the Lord speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And I think society now, we're so used to pick up our mobile phone, we dial a number, we call our friends, we send them a message. Guess what? They either pick up or they send back a message instantly. We put something in the microwave, 30 seconds, it's warm, you take it out, you eat it. Okay? We pray to God. 2-3 days later down the line, you don't get a response. We have no patience because we think God hasn't answered us as yet. So we get tired of that and we're like, oh, afraid. No response. And being deployed for the 7.5 months, I've met with people, and you ask them about being a Christian, and they're like, no, I'm not a Christian. And the one reason that they give you most of the time is because they prayed for somebody, their parents or somebody, and their prayers wasn't answered the way they wanted to answer. And all sorts of different stories I can give examples of. But what it teaches me is that God don't do things in our timing. He does it in his timing. And his timing is perfect. So when you don't get the response that you want from God within that 10 minutes, half an hour, you want the instant message, you want the instant answer. God doesn't work like that. So your thoughts is not his. His thoughts is his. So you have to be humble. You have to be patient. Pastor Jeff spoke last year about getting fit. And he gave you a long list of how to get fit. I'm not going to go into all of that. But he gave you a long list. And that's how you start practicing. Like any good runner, you get up, you go and train. You get up, take your Bible, you read. You do it constantly. Nobody say get up every morning and read your Bible. But your Bible's here. Take it up. Whether it's you're driving to work, not driving, you're not reading your Bible. When you're driving to work, you pray. Whether you're on a break, you know, you take up your Bible, you read something. Put it in your heart. Pastor Jeff was saying this morning, I hope I'm not taking up too much time. Pastor Jeff was speaking this morning about God coming soon. And that was one of the first things I wanted to say this morning. Since I was knee high, I heard God is coming. Now I'm, how old I am? Don't say it. He's still coming. He hasn't stopped coming. He's still coming. So for me, at the age that I am, like Pastor Jeff, I want to be in right standing. Because if God's come tomorrow, I want to be ready for when he comes. I don't want to be just, as some people say, in a play the game. No, I want to be serious with my Christian life. And trust me, you're going to lose some leaves, as in lose some friendship, because you're serious about your walk with God. You know the direction you're going. You're protecting your heart. So be prepared to lose some friends. You might lose some families because your family don't believe in Christ and you want to, you know, bring Christ to them and you want to follow God's way. So protect your heart, my church family. It is very important. This is where God entered in. This is where he's housed, in your heart. So with all diligence, protect your heart. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for life. We thank you for entering our heart. We thank you that in your word you said to keep it with all diligence. Father, let your thoughts be in our lives and not our thoughts in our lives, but your thoughts, dear God. Father, we thank you that you are good. Your mercies endure forever. Let us not as a church forget that you're good and that you would never leave us, neither would you forsake us. So in our ups and in our downs, dear God, let us stand firm. Let us keep our eyes on you. Father, allow us to come when you say come, and let us focus on you and nowhere else. Let us not get distracted or sidetracked by looking left and looking right and looking behind. But let us keep our eyes fixed on you. And Father, I pray over our children. I pray over the elders. I pray over everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice, that your blessing would remain and be with everyone as we go forth and continue to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on in, guys. Shane.
Morning, church. Like Romeo, I'm very nervous, and I don't have my lovely husband with me because he's not very well. So pray for him. Thank you, Emma, for your prayers this morning. I took them for him, so thank you for that. And I just want to say I was umming and ahhing about whether to share, but actually when Romeo and Camille shared, it was like God was saying, yeah, you know, what he said to them echoed so closely what he said to me. So I hope I can explain what he's put in my heart And my notes have sort of all gone to rats as well. So so a bit like Camille, I was praying, and before I got a verse, I got two words, and that was purpose and intention. And I was like, okay, God, purpose and intention. And when I think about purpose, I always think about the verse, I know the plans you have for me, you know, to give you hope in the future. And it was like, no, that's God's purpose to us. And it was, and God was saying to me, no, what's your purpose? What's your intention? What are you doing sort of back towards me? You know, it's a partnership. I don't just get to sit and God does everything for me. You know, I love him back and I want to serve him back. And so it was like, okay, God, what, you know, what are you saying about purpose and intention? So I started looking for verses, and I got to Psalm 119, and there was so much in there. It's Psalm 119, verse 32, and it says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So when Romeo and Camille were talking about heart and guarding the heart and enlarging the heart, I was like, yes. And the thing is, God often talks to us about the things that are relevant to us. So for me, and Phil's here this morning as well, I'm a runner, and one of the things I love to do is run. And when I am running a long race, a marathon, I have to have a training plan. I have to, plan out how am I going to get from my small runs that I do to a marathon. And I have a plan that I have to follow, and I have to keep to that. And God was saying to me, it's a bit like that with being purposeful and intentional. It's all very easy to live day to day, to weeks to tick by, to come to church on Sunday, to do all the things that you do, to go to work. But actually, where is the purpose and the intentionality behind that? And it's very easy without that purpose and intention to just let things drift by, to not do the things that God's calling us to do day in, day out. And actually, I'm going to just pull up the verse that Camille shared, because I could have chosen this one. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And it is that purposefulness, intentionness. We have to set aside time to seek, to find, to search with all our heart. We have to recognize that if we just sit back, we're not getting God's best. If it's possible, could we have my verse up, which was Psalm 119, verse 32. So the verse says that when we run the course of God's commandments, he will enlarge our hearts. And I Googled, and actually physically, when you are active and do lots of exercise, you actually do get a bigger heart. And I was like, wow, God, you know, the fact that, you know, the psalmist wrote this without that awareness, but God knew that physical exercise expands your heart. And it's the same principle in the spiritual, that when we are spiritually fit, when we spiritually exercise, God enlarges our heart. And so my encouragement for us this year, as we start the year, is to have a plan. I've been tidying up and sorting out at home, as you do, and I don't know if you can read that from here, but I found some stickers that say, what's the plan? And that is my challenge to us this year. Do we have a plan with God? You know, are we putting him first and saying, okay, God, this is my plan for how I'm going to commit my year to you, how I'm going to live in the day-to-day for you, to walk with you, to serve you. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you have that course planned out for us.
Yes, you
do. That we have your word that helps us to stay on that course, to follow your commandments and to stay on track. But Lord, you talk about us running that race, running that course. And running takes effort, running takes commitment, running takes dedication and building those muscles day in, day out. And that's what I pray for us this year, Lord, as a church, that we would be a people who commit our lives to you, that we would be a people who are spiritually strong, who have spiritually strong hearts, that you would enlarge our hearts as we commit our time and our plans to you, Lord, as we set out at the beginning of this year to serve you, that you would enlarge our hearts, Lord, that we would be able to run that good race. And Lord, it's a course that you have set out for us, and sometimes we step off course, but you're a good God, and you made a way that we can come back on course, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So I pray that we would chase and run after you, Lord, and know that if we do leave the track and leave the course, that we have that way back, that repentance is always there, and we can always turn that 180 degrees and come back on course chasing after you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
So Lord, would you guard our hearts? Would you help us to commit our time to you, to commit being with you, to knowing your word, commit ourselves to following your commandments, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just dedicate this year to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And we pray that you would empower us all to do this by your Spirit.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Fantastic. Thank you, Katie.
Well, I had something ready to share this morning, but as we were sitting there, and I was listening to everybody sharing, I just felt God dropped it in my heart that actually wanted to change what I was going to share. And a scripture that's really been laid on my heart a lot over this, especially over this Christmas season, is from Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's a famous one, we all know it. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Mm-hmm. And I really feel, I know for me personally, and for our family, this is a scripture that, you know, I really feel is what God wants us to take hold of. But I actually really feel God was saying this morning, no, this is for you as well. This isn't just for me, this is for you as well. Because those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, if you feel like your strength is weak, we all have times like that, don't we? When we just feel weak, we feel like there's just, how do I get through this situation? How am I going to deal with this? And we can feel that, like our strength is fading. But the key here is when we wait on the Lord, when we spend time with him. And that takes effort, and that takes discipline. But I tell you what, it's so worth it. When you spend time with God, and you know that when you face a situation that could potentially be a problem to you, cause you to worry, cause you to fear, but actually you find you don't have those fears. You don't have, those fears may try to come, but it's like you just can look out onto God and say, God, you've got this. And that's where you have that peace. That's why it says, you shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. We need to mount up with wings. God wants us to mount up with wings like eagles. And I did a little Google search on eagles. And most birds, when a storm come, they fly away to safety, but an eagle doesn't. An eagle will soar into the storm because he knows that when he does that, it will raise him up. It will take him up to higher heights where he will soar. He will make the most of the winds, the storm, and it will take him higher. And I believe what God is saying here is when we wait on him, he wants to take us to that place that is higher than we've ever experienced. And it's effortless, because if you watch an eagle fly, you know, when they've just locked their wings and they are soaring, it's effortless. But that's what God does for us. When we wait on him, the key is we've got to wait on him. We've got to give him that time. We've got to have that time each day where we're saying, God, this is your time now. And it may for some of us be very short moments. And you know, when our kids were small, I know what that looks like. But just quality time is what God is asking. So I encourage you this morning, take hold of this scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 31, and let that be our strength this year. Let that be where each one of us saw in God. So let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life. It's powerful. Father, I thank you your word is there to guide us and to help us through. And Father, I just pray that as your church this day, that you will seal this word on our hearts, that Father, we will know that as we make that commitment to spend time with you, quality time, getting to know you more than we've ever known before. Father, I thank you. You're going to cause us to rise up like wings like eagles. That Father, we will be in that place where we soar with you, where it's beautiful, Lord, where we know that no matter what situation we go through, you are there. You are holding us up. And we don't have to fight. We don't have to struggle. But you are there for us. Father, I thank you. This is going to be a year of blessing. This is going to be a year, Lord God, where we experience you in very new ways. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Gives me 4 minutes. 4 minutes to preach a word. Okay, so here's my scripture, and I believe this is very significant. Okay, so Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, and it follows on from this moment in Abraham's life. He's just gone up Mount Moriah. He's been told to sacrifice his son, but there was a plan that God had, and he just wanted to test his obedience and his faith. He didn't sacrifice his son, but he was willing to do so. God provided a ram in the mountain, and as he comes down, God speaks, and this is what he says to Abraham. He says, "Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars, as the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore." And this is the part. "And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." We are the descendants of Abraham. We are, you read Romans chapter 4, and it speaks about Abraham, the father of faith, the one who teaches us how to live by faith. And we are children of Abraham. And this promise is ours. And your descendants, us, we will possess the gate of our enemy. Now, those gates can take many different forms and many different ways. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm actually going to share and teach on these thoughts. So I'm not going to give too much away right now. But I believe this is very significant because our ears are a gateway to our heart. We've been speaking on heart in different ways. I think it's very significant that the Lord is speaking in a very specific way. The eye is a gateway to the heart. How we process and think is a gateway to our heart. He says that your descendants will possess the gate to protect and to keep our lives from the work of the enemy. And also what the enemy has stolen, we will protect the gate of our heart and our life. And I think there's two very significant things, and I'm going to teach this over the next couple of weeks, but I believe God is raising us up to take a hold in spiritual warfare and take him back what the enemy has stolen and deal with the blow of the enemy, that where he trips you up, where he causes you to fall, where he causes you to stumble, where he causes you to have anxiety, where he causes you to have doubt, they are gates that he's occupied for too long. And it's now that we take the stance and say, having done all to stand, I'm going to stand and see the promises of God come to pass in my life. And I'm going to possess the gate of my life. I'm going to possess what God has said is mine. And when it comes to the end of Abraham's life, in chapter 24 of Genesis, verse 1, it says, "Now Abraham was old." Let this be our testimony. When "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." That is our testimony. On the tombstone of my life, There's all sorts of things I want written on the tombstone of my life. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I want that. My tombstone is going to be huge, right? Enter into the joy of the Lord. He ran the course. He's finished the course. He's kept the faith. And now there's laid up in heaven. But I want this one. That the Lord has blessed Jeff in all things. You know, just add your name in there, because that is what the Lord wants to do through your faith and your walk with Jesus Christ. He wants to bless you in all things. Now, we've got to open our heart and say, well, you know, the journey of my life, I haven't seen all things blessed. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's not how you've seen it. But the truth is, if he did it for Abraham, and we are children of faith in Abraham and heirs according to the promise, then we have got something even better than Abraham had, because we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. And all the promises are yes and amen. That's a promise to Abraham, but it's also a promise to us. So I really want to encourage you at the start of this year, whether it's from Isaac and Mercy, Co and Camille, Katie, we don't know what Dave was going to bring, it's a mystery, Jane or myself, I believe it's important to take a hold of a word. You know, a couple of years ago, it was Romans 8:28, and the Lord will turn all things around for the good of those who love him and according to his purpose. We saw incredible miracles take place that year because we stood upon and we laid hold of the promise of God. Now, if you've not got a promise and one of these don't sit in your world right now, go and find a promise from God that sits in your life that you desire to see come to pass in your life. And then you can start to pray over it, believe God for it, and receive the promise of God in your life. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. It is so important, because it's like an anchor to your soul. So when the winds of life and the storms of life are blowing in your world, you can rest assured that the promise that you're standing on is solid ground. It is the rock upon which I stand. So come on, what is your verse? Have you got a verse as a couple? Have you got a verse as an individual? Have you got a verse for you as a family? I wanted to share with all of you the verses that the leaders feel to speak over your life. And if I get opportunity and time throughout this year, I'm going to ask each one if you can send me the verses, and I will either do a series or I'll ask you to do the series, Cohen. Mercy. But I would like to incorporate that as part of our year moving forward throughout this year. Not just a word that's shared on the first Sunday, but something that we can take a hold of and live out throughout this year. I don't know about you, I am so excited about this year. This verse, let me read it to you again, then I'm going to just say something about it. And it says, "And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." What are your enemies? Because you will possess the gate. The way in which the enemy comes in, the way in which the enemy moves, you will possess the gate. I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I've just been corrected. We are going to be doing prayer and fasting as a whole church, but we're also joining nationally with a whole bunch of churches that are going into a time of prayer and fasting. And I really, really want to encourage us as a congregation. You know, we'll be meeting, I think it's in Empower Centre Portsmouth, here, and at the Empower Centre in Waterside. We will be meeting here on the Friday night, and we will encourage as many of you to come and join us during that time. But you can consider praying and fasting on the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, whether it's a meal or the meals, whatever you want to do. There's no pressure to do any of it. But if we want to be serious about what we're doing, Prayer moves mountains. It moves nations. It moves policies and politics. It moves incredible things. And we're going to be praying for those 3 days. And we're going to come together on the Friday night. And we're going to see heaven move on this earth. And it's called this. Now, I haven't read any of my notes. It's called this. It's time to turn, or it's called turn back the battle at the gate. Turn back the battle at the gate. And I believe this is so important for the generation and the time in which we live. So I'm going to pray this scripture over your life. Father, I thank you that your word declares that the descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And Father, I pray over our congregation here and each one who's here and visiting and listening to these words. Father, we pray that you will give us the keys of the kingdom that will enable us to possess the gate of our enemies. Father, we thank you for your word in our lives. We thank you for all that you want to do through our lives in this year. We commit this year to you. Father, may this be a significant year in the journey of our walk with you. We commit our lives, we commit our walk with you, and we commit our dedication to your house. And we say, Father God, your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name.